In view of the read the Bible in 1 year, I've chosen to share a different message this afternoon. A Christian's call to perfection, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. But this is the Andrew Murray Bible, divided daily. Two chapters of the Old Testament, one chapter of the New Testament, and a devotion by the man himself for your spiritual edification and strengthening in the year ahead. The scripture text to encourage us in this holy endeavor is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Shall we read together? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. As we consider the Christian's call to perfection, we must clarify on the onset that we are not advocating living a perfect life upon this earth. Nevertheless, we must confess that we have a perfect Savior, a perfect book, and a perfect sanctifying Spirit of God that enables us to rightly understand the Word of God, that we may be truly furnished unto all good works and to go on toward spiritual maturity. The title of this message also does not tell us that we should not press toward perfection, for we must all continue to struggle. We must continue to look to the Lord. We cannot give up. For Jesus himself said, "Be ye also perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Let us see what Scripture says concerning how we should strive towards the perfection that God wants from us. Right? God wants us to be that perfect man, the matured Christian. But how do we move in that journey towards Christian maturity? Three thoughts from our text from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. The perfect book, the perfect process, the perfect person. 16a, 16b, and 17. The perfect book, that's our first thought. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The phrase "given by inspiration of God" in our King James translation is just one Greek word. It means God breathed. All scripture is God breathed, is the literal translation of verse 16a. It is from the very breath of God that these words are given. So the Lord wants us to understand the divine nature of God's Word. It describes the divine origin and source of Scripture. It is the voice of God speaking through the Scriptures. Every time we would turn to the sacred pages of the Holy Word, we must understand it is God who is speaking through these words to us, to our hearts. The utterance of the eternal God, as if the heaven were to open and we hear God speaking to us with a human voice. And this is what the Lord wants us to have, that kind of a relationship with Him each time we open the Scripture. And the Word of God also carries with it divine authority. The divine authority of God, when God speaks, all must stand corrected. All critics silenced. Paul did not write all the scripture. You see our text there in verse 16a, but Paul said, all scripture. The absence of the definite article emphasizes the quality and character of scriptures. The Bible carries the credentials of the Almighty God. All scripture. And the Lord also lays there an adjective. The adjective here is all. All means all. All encompassing. All of it. Nothing is left out. Every book of it is given by God. There is no part of Scripture that is not the voice of God. We have 66 books. All 66 books is God-breathed. And that's the word inspired, inspiration that is given there. The Bible is the only book God has ever written. And it's the only book that has only one edition. The word scripture tells us that God has committed His revelation to mankind in writing. God has committed His revelation to mankind in writing. When you have the written word, then you can go back to it again and again, and you would be able to take your time to decipher and understand the message, the will of God that is given to you there. The scripture tells us that God has committed His revelation to mankind by writing. And these words that He gives to us have meaning. And sentences convey meaning by its syntax and grammar. We have our Bible in the English language. And the King James Bible is the most faithful translation of the Word of God from the original Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic text in the English language. And we recommend it to you. We can therefore study and understand the divine message that is given to us. And I would like us to understand the divine nature of the Holy Scriptures. It is not just any other word. It is the word of the Almighty God. Presented to us. Paul says to Timothy in verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 that Scripture has the power to make him wise unto salvation. Right? Paul says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Indeed, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Scripture delivers all truths that are sufficient and needful for our salvation. And that's the sense of verse 15. And Timothy is a living testimony of the life-transforming words of God. And if you would understand it in the context of verse 16a, which is flashed here on the screen, you would realize that it conveys the fact that Scripture is life-giving. It is breathed out of the living breath of God. And when you received it, the Spirit would give you life, spiritual life. Just as God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and Eve, or to Adam, and he received the breath of life. The Bible says he became a living soul. And the same way, the Holy Spirit gives to man spiritual life through his word. And so Paul also tells us in verse 15 that there is the other character of Scripture, that it is holy. Thou hast known the holy Scriptures. The Word of God is sacred. Scripture is set apart from all other writings of men. You know, we spend a lifetime learning the wisdom of men. But we spend so little time learning true wisdom, the wisdom of God. And so as we begin the year, may God help us to have perspective concerning what is true wisdom. What is it that would really help our souls, help our lives? Holy Scripture is the writing of God. God delivered them to Moses through the Ten Commandments written by his very fingers. And God gave to Moses the laws by speaking to him face to face. And that's how the first five books of the Bible is given to us. God imparting his word to his prophets in part, and finally to the apostles. Therefore, the authority of the Scripture is higher than the reasoning of the most brilliant men. So the Lord wants us to understand, to see the difference. Paul says to the Corinthian Christians, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. And Peter said the same thing. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God speak as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. Dear brethren, the knowledge of God and from God in the Scriptures is the highest knowledge, the apex of all knowledge. And Paul is commending to you this perfect precept of Scripture. Well, he commended it to Timothy. It is the basis and the foundation of our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the same message that Moses gave next to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. A little small, I read to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and when thou bind them upon the sign upon thy hand, they shall be as frontlets before thee, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So like Moses gave the same instruction for the leaders of Israel, the kings of Israel were also commanded by God to write a copy of Scripture for themselves, and to study and to live by it all their lives. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy 17. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, And it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And so God commanded the kings of Israel to write the scriptures. When we write the scriptures, we learn better. When we take time to enunciate each word, each sentence, we take time to meditate upon the wisdom that God would want us to learn, to receive from it. When the kings fail to read and abide by the safety of scriptures, they fail. The kingdom and the entire nation fell. And when we read through the history of Israel, we know, we see what happened. Why did they fail? They fail because they fail to imbibe the wisdom of God in their lives. And therefore, it behooves us to go back to first principles. Let every sincere Christian, therefore, resolve in his or her heart that if God's word is to be the highest authority, then I must give it the highest place in my heart. I must live by the word, act by the word, and die by the word. This is the first thought that we, as we consider the Christian's call to perfection. It is that we must have the right source of instruction. That the perfect, that is the perfect precepts of Scripture. And secondly, next, Paul instructs us in verse 16b that there is a perfect process for our spiritual growth, for our sanctification towards spiritual maturity. Verse 16b says, and this scripture that is given to us is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Next. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and therefore it is profitable for you. Scripture is profitable, meaning it is beneficial, it is valuable. It is a help to you. Jesus called it the pearl of great price. And this benefit was well articulated by Dr. Carl McIntyre. He was the founder of the Bible Presbyterian movement. And in the book, McIntyre's Maxims, that was compiled by the late Reverend Timothy Toh, it is recorded, the genius of the Protestant faith has always been that the Holy Spirit speaks through the Scripture directly to the individual. It is profitable for you when you appropriate it for yourself with prayer. This is the message that Paul wants to convey to Timothy, that all Scripture originated from God. This perfect writ is therefore profitable for you. The Word of God is our yardstick. It is the standard, the supreme and final judge in all things. And every man's opinions and actions must stand and fall by the Scriptures. The judgment of God in Scripture shall stand in the last day. Just as when you make a product, you need to have your input. You need the right input. You also have need of the right manufacturing process. I visited someone yesterday, and you know, I was shown how to make porcelain. Wow, a clean that goes up to 1,000 degrees, and how to paint beautiful pictures on porcelain, a rare art. Indeed, when we look at our lives, well, God has given to us the Holy Scriptures and given to us the Holy Spirit to help us grow in grace. And we said that this resource is the perfect Bible, and the process is given in four words: doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Four things. And the first, for doctrine. Scripture teaches us what doctrines I must hold and what doctrines I should not hold for the purpose of imparting knowledge concerning God's revelation in all its facets. Everything that God wants us to know, He reveals to us and He teaches us. And we can derive all these teachings, right? How we can order our lives from there. It is from the doctrines, or what we call principles, that we derive our practice. And our faith is an objective faith, this Christian faith. Therefore, the people who go wrong in practice, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, are always those who are not sure of their principles. He gave an insightful observation. He says that we live in an age of specialists, and the specialist is almost invariably a man who is lost in details, that he often forgets principles. And he tells us that most of the breakdown in life today is due to the fact that certain basic principles have been forgotten. And the word doctrine is first used in the book of Matthew when Jesus reproved the Pharisees for teaching doctrines of men or men's traditions and putting aside the doctrines of God. Well, today we were supposed to study how Christ would be betrayed. These evil men don't want God and His word. Very scary. But Paul says, you have fully known my doctrine, the principles that undergird my action, why I do what I do. So we have a reason for doing what we do as believers. And we have a basis in which we practice, we do what we do. Secondly, it is profitable for reproof. As a warning, it shows me that which is false for refuting error. False doctrines is to be pointed out in love, and false teachers are to be exposed. The Apostle Paul began 2 Timothy chapter 3 by pointing out the imperfection, the sin, and the depravity of man in the last days. What is the last days between the Lord's first coming and His second coming, before the rapture? And the Apostle Paul tells us that these are perilous days, difficult days, hard times to bear. The word there means fierce, harsh, savage, where sin abounds. This is the kind of world that we are living in. And you need God and His word. Jesus described the times of Noah as our times before God judged with a global flood. the hearts of men were evil continually. And the Apostle Paul, by the illumination of the Holy Spirit, describes for us the corruption of the human heart. He gave telltale behaviors that characterize the imperfection, inadequacy of depraved men. Next. We just run through very quickly. Men will be lovers of themselves, selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, self-lovers, covetous, lover of money, boasters, arrogant, proud, haughty, blasphemers, slanderers, speaking words against God, speaking evil of others, disobedient to parents, parental authority in the home breaks down, unthankful, unholy, next, without natural affection, lacking human, normal human affections. Right? We see the legalizing of homosexuality, lesbianism. This year, began in Europe, legalized in America. June this year, momentous times we are living in. Truth breakers, cannot keep promises, false accusers, incontinent, lack of self-control, fierce, abusive, despisers of those that are good. Next. Traitors or betrayers, hasty, rash, high-minded, arrogant and proud, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, pleasure seekers. Next. Having a form of godliness, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Seem godly, but is not that genuine. And so the Lord wants us to test lives by the word of God. Next. For correction, if I should go astray, the scripture is profitable for correction, meaning that it sets me right again. It put me back on the right path. Right? Scripture teaches us how we must put away sin and we must put on holiness. It has the power to deal with the evil of the human heart. That's why we need the word of God. To deal with the evil that is inside us. Only the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, can deal with the depravity that is in us. And it is Paul's only secret of power to transform unholy men, to make him holy. This is the only way known to men. In fact, there is nothing more contrary to the corrupt nature of men than the Holy Scriptures. And there is nothing more contrary to the kingdom of Satan than the Holy Scriptures. So you'll find that the Word of God is contrary to this world that we lived in. And truly, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But the Word of God tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Indeed, it is profitable for correction. The Word of God will show you what is wrong with your life. Sometimes we don't know what is wrong. But you open to your devotion page every day, you would find the Word of God speaking to you. The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to help you so that you may, your life may be lived strong. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there too, according to thy word. So may we respond like the psalmist who said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me now not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Fourthly, next, it is profitable for practice, teaching me what is good and what is evil. Scripture instructs us fully. Paul calls it instructs us in righteousness. He tells us what is it that we ought to do, what is good, what is evil. And the good things, do it. And Paul tells us that when you do the will of God, the word of God in your life, then the Holy Spirit would bear forth its fruit in your life. What are these? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Meaning that there's no condemnation if you manifest this in your character, in your life. Next. The third, the perfect man. The word perfect means complete, of one able to meet all demands. Perfect, qualified, fit, mature. And that is the man of God that is to be called a Christian, that he might be thoroughly, truly furnished, to be thoroughly spiritual. He speaks of a moral preparedness, to be equipped completely and made adequate to show forth a godly life by the good works that he does to bless the people around him. Do you do that? Sometimes we find ourselves very inadequate. The things that we ought to do, we don't do. But it takes time to grow. It takes time to study the Word of God. And we must be patient to give ourselves time. Time to examine our own lives. Time to think, and time to put away the things that ought not to be in our lives. And, you know, this third verse, next. That the man of God may be perfect, truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There is a future sense to the verb that tells us that we must work at it. We must continue to struggle against sin in our lives. For our encouragement, Scripture give to us in the book of Job, the earliest recorded writing of Scripture of a man of God. It says this, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed, one that hated evil. The word perfect does not mean sinless perfection, but it speaks of holiness. He was a man who walked with God, who made right with God, who have a close communion with God. He would confess his sins daily before God. He made right with God, and he interceded for his children daily. God himself pronounced him perfect. Fathers and mothers in the home need to be equipped and to be maturing in the faith to adequately lead their children in the paths of righteousness. How are you doing as parents? How are you growing spiritually? For example, Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The Bible advocates the use of the rod to teach children By withholding the rod, the Bible says we are really hating our son. If we truly love him, then we must chastise him early. And the word chastise means both instruction and discipline. And so, you know, early punishment is something that would prepare the child one day to stand before God. Biblical discipline in using the rod instills in the child the fear of God. This is just one little example of the wisdom from the Word of God. And truly, the Bible also says, a child left to himself bring to his mother shame. Proverbs 29:15. And so children, when young, who are restricted from going out, when they are older, when the kids in the neighborhood are all getting grounded, yours should finally be getting airborne. It behooves every mother and father to teach the children early in the ways of God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is the vision, the scriptural vision of the perfect man of God. And he wants us to begin early and not forget. Next. The Christian's call to perfection is the call to sanctification. Next. And this is the call to living a holy life, a life of godliness, characterized by good works. How are you progressing spiritually? What are you doing to speed you along in your spiritual journey? We realize that sin is real. The battle is real. And the Lord wants you to live victoriously, to bear a good testimony. The battle is fierce, but our Lord has won the victory for us on the cross. And he has left us his blueprint for battle in his word. And we want to encourage you, if you haven't got your copies, to do so. And begin this new year with God and his word. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for leading us to understand your will for our lives, that we grow to spiritual maturity. Lord, thank thee for the perfect book, the perfect process. And Lord, may thou help us to be that perfect man. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.